The playing time for Rain Hamcast podcast number 70 is 19 minutes, 39 seconds. Running times for 10-second timer resets are 2:50, 5:47. Station ID at 8:51 with additional timer resets at 11:46, 14:46, and 17:52.
This is Rain Hamcast podcast number 70 for June 25th, 2022. It's an excerpt from a ham radio video called Compromised Beverage Antennas. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. Do you live under the inflexible umbrella of a homeowners association? Jeff Mendenhall, W8GMN, does. Even so, Jeff has found a way around his HOA constructing what he calls compromised beverage antennas. Here's an excerpt from his story given as part of a video he delivered to the third QSO Today Virtual Ham Radio Expo.
This is Jeff Mendenhall, W8GNM. I'm speaking to you from my ham shack located on Catawba Island off the north coast of Ohio. It is a pleasure for me to make this presentation to the worldwide ham radio community as part of the third QSO Today Virtual Ham Expo. I'm going to be talking about compromised beverage antennas and how they might help you hear better than you think. Many hams give up too easily on trying a beverage receiving antenna to hear better on the low bands because of limited space or uneven property with no straight flat area to put up a beverage. This presentation explains how to overcome non-ideal terrain and space limitations. But first, I'm going to talk about my beverage antenna story. About 20 years ago, when I lived in an antenna-restricted HOA neighborhood, I still managed to achieve 5-band DXCC using only stealth wire antennas in the woods behind my QTH. I was struggling to hear and work the weak signals on the top bands, and I often thought about trying a beverage receiving antenna on the wooded hillside behind my home, but I kept convincing myself that I did not have enough space to make it worthwhile. Finally, the curiosity got the best of me, and I decided to try a beverage antenna. I was so pleasantly surprised by how much more I could hear with my compromised beverage antenna that I embarked on the design of a reversible beverage antenna system, along with several other limited space receiving antennas that I would like to tell you about. But first, a little bit of background about what are the low bands and why operate there. The low bands are generally considered 160, 80, 60, and 40 meters. These are the bands with long distance propagation at night. Low band propagation and noise improve in the winter. And with the sunspot cycle coming out of minimum, this is a good place to be to work DX, especially in the winter. But the low band offers some challenges. Wavelengths are large, thus the antennas are large. It can be hard to fit a transmit and receive antenna into a small city lot. The good news is that some antennas like verticals are very effective for transmitting on the low bands and don't take up much land space. But an omnidirectional vertical antenna can be noisy for receiving. There are high levels of QRN and QRM, static caused by thunderstorms hundreds or thousands of miles away, or signals from short skip distances. You hear every station on the band, but the one you want to hear. And if you can't hear DX, you can't work the DX. Some of the QRN and QRM characteristics are it is greatest below 10 megahertz, where the atmospheric noise is the main source. Great receiver sensitivity is not really needed at these lower frequencies. QRN and QRM come from a different direction than the desired signal you're trying to receive. And there's an opportunity to reject undesired reductions, thereby reducing the overall noise. Now, let's talk about noise reduction versus signal strength. It's not how loud the signal is, but how loud it is compared to the noise. Low band signals are often strong, but the noise is stronger. Antenna directivity can reduce the noise. And low band receive antennas often have negative gain. That means lower gain than, let's say, a reference dipole antenna. But the reduction of the noise on these receive antennas is greater than the reduction of the desired signal, which means you get a better signal-to-noise ratio. There are several main types of low-band receiving antennas. There are the traveling wave types, like the beverage and the bog. There are the loop types, like the EWE, VE3DO, and FLAG antennas. Short phased arrays of vertical antennas, All of these are one directional, but can be reversible. And the last one I'll mention is the shielded magnetic loop, which is bidirectional, which means it receives very broad lobes in two directions, but has very narrow nulls, which can be used in some cases to null out a local noise source that may be objectionable. Talking about Beveridge antennas, the Beveridge was developed by a guy named Harold Beveridge around 1920 at General Electric Corporation. It is a long wire antenna towards the direction of interest with a terminating resistor at the front end. It can be made reversible. More about that later. It does not necessarily have to be fed at the end like a classic Beveridge. I'll talk more about that as well. The Beveridge receives a low angle of incidence and receives DX signals well. It's best if it's at least a wavelength or more long, but it can be very large if above ground, but could be smaller if it's moved closer to the ground. So here are what I call a couple of my Beveridge antenna myths. First of all, it must be at least one wavelength to work at all. While it's desirable to be a wavelength or more in length, a shorter antenna in a Beveridge configuration can still be useful. Another myth is it must be in a straight line. Actually, meandering or zigzags of the antenna back and forth across the axis of reception are okay. Another myth is it must be on level ground. Well, up and down undulations are okay, too. Some more Beveridge antenna myths. It must have its own supports. Trees, fence posts, and walls can work very well. Does it have to be at a specific height? Anything from 10 feet down the ground level can work well. And the classic Beveridge has to be fed at one end. But actually, it can be fed anywhere along the antenna. An example of that would be the BevFlex 4X. So let's take a look at the anatomy of a Beveridge antenna. It's a long wire. At the left end, we see a transformer that transforms the impedance of the antenna, which is typically about 470 ohms for an above ground Beveridge, down to 50 or 75 ohms for the coax that feeds back to the receiver. The bottom end of the transformer is terminated in a ground rod. The far end of the antenna, which is actually the front end of the antenna, has typically a 470 ohm terminating resistor. And it is also connected to a ground rod at that end of the antenna. So this is known as a traveling wave type of antenna. Now, one thing that's very important about the operation and size of a traveling wave antenna is the velocity factor. And I'm going to talk about velocity factor reduction. So the velocity of propagation of the radio wave as it moves along the antenna is called the velocity factor. A lower velocity factor, V sub P, makes the antenna electrically longer than the actual length. Velocity factor would be near one times the speed of light in air away from the ground. That would be a full-size antenna. But the velocity factor can be reduced to 0.5 by loading or lowering the antenna. The velocity factor goes down as the Beveridge antenna comes closer to or lies on the ground. And a Beveridge on ground or bog is electrically longer than its actual length. There are other configurations that can also be used to electrically load or electrically lengthen the antenna. I'll talk more about those.
You're listening to an excerpt from a ham radio video, Compromised Beveridge Antennas. They can help more than you think, voiced by Jeff Mendenhall, W8GMN, for the third QSO Today Virtual Ham Expo. We'll conclude this excerpt from Jeff's talk after you ID your station. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Rain Hamcast on therainreport.com and on the Rain Report page on YouTube.
So we'll start out with the Beveridge on ground. The bog or the BIS, Beveridge in sod, is at or near the ground level. It can be shorter because of the lower velocity of propagation on the ground. Typically, the velocity factor is 0.5 to 0.6 of a Beveridge in air. That means the electrical length is approximately twice or two times longer than the physical length of the antenna. Therefore, a short bog can perform very well. and this puts a low noise antenna system into a smaller lot. 100 feet to 240 feet are popular lengths. 225-foot bog laid just above the surface of the ground seems to be optimal. Some more about the bog. Does not require supports and is not as visible as an above-ground beverage. It can perform better with higher gain if it's a few inches above the ground, along a fence or a low wall. You can mount it on a low structure to prevent a trip hazard. Signal levels are lower on a bog than an above-ground beverage antenna. The antenna gain is typically about minus 25 dB with reference to a dipole versus minus 15 dB below a reference dipole. That means it may require a preamplifier at higher frequencies above 80 meters. And the bog has a lower antenna impedance than the beverage, typically about 180 ohms versus 470 ohms for an above ground beverage. The BevFlex 4, as an example, has adjustable impedance taps, so it can be used as a beverage or a bog, and it can be fed anywhere along the length of the antenna. Here's a table that shows some typical bog performance versus length. You go with a really short bog in the 100 to 150 foot range. The performance is not going to be very good on 160 meters, but it can still be pretty good on 80 and 40 meters. And the relative directivity of the antenna can be good on 80 and 40 and fair on 160. If you get up into the 200 to 250 foot length of a bog, now the overall performance can be good to excellent. The directivity can be pretty good on 160 meters and excellent on 80 meters and up to 40 meters. Here's an idea of what my 225-foot bog, which is woven into a rock wall, looks like. On the left, you see the end termination transformer and ground rod. And over on the right, the actual antenna, which is made of RG6 coaxial cable, which is threaded in and out of a low rock wall. This particular antenna actually uses the coax as the antenna. The outer shield is the antenna, and the inside of the coax is used to transport the signal from the end transformer back to the shack. And this is how my bog is fed. It can be fed anywhere along the antenna by using a feed point transformer coupling to the antenna so that you don't have to feed it at one end or the other. Now, another technique for shortening a beverage antenna is the loaded beverage antenna. The velocity factor can still be significantly reduced by loading the antenna with distributed inductance. Beverage configurations can also be used to electrically load the antenna. Loading by a zigzag layout of the beverage or by using a slinky as a helically loaded antenna wire are possible. And a zigzag beverage effectively adds incremental inductance, lowering the velocity factor. The zigzag can be mounted horizontally or vertically, such as over undulating terrain. It's best to keep the zigzag symmetrical along the line to the desired receiving direction. And the loaded beverage has a wider acceptance angle, but still helps reduce noise off the back of the antenna. Now, another approach would be to helically load the beverage antenna. This could be done by using a slinky stretched out as the antenna wire, or it could be done by coiling the antenna wire, whether it's coax or wire, into a helical configuration. This model is for a 50-foot helical beverage, 8 feet above ground level, and the diameter of the helical turns is about half a foot, 6 inches. Here's what the azimuth pattern looks like for a short 50-foot helically loaded beverage antenna at an elevation angle of 20 degrees. So we have over 12 dB of front-to-back ratio, which again is helpful in noise reduction off the back of the antenna in a very small antenna. Now, what about a beverage over sloping terrain? Sloping terrain can help lower the vertical acceptance angle of the beverage, sometimes to your benefit. The acceptance angle will be lowered in the direction of the drop-off. So going up and down across creeks and other low high spots with a beverage is okay. Now, if you still feel that none of these shortened beverages could work at your QTH, I'll offer a couple other smaller receive antenna options. There are a number of types and configurations. The first four are all unidirectional for lower noise pickup off the back. They are the EWE, the VE3DO, the flag, and the pennant. All of these antennas take up less space than a 40-meter dipole, and they can be low to the ground, which is backyard friendly. So let's take a look at the anatomy of the EWE and the VE3DO antennas. On the left, we have an EWE antenna. It looks at first glance like a very short beverage antenna, but it actually works on an entirely different principle. It's actually a phased array of two short vertical antennas with the 40-foot top wire providing the coupling between the two verticals. At the left end of the antenna, we see an impedance transformer. In this case, it's a fairly high impedance of 900 ohms that is transformed down to either 50 or 75 ohm coax back to the shack. And the bottom end of the transformer is terminated in a ground rod like a beverage antenna. Then 40 feet away, we have another vertical section that's 15 feet high. And it has a terminating resistor, typically about 900 ohms, and it is also connected to a ground rod at that end of the antenna. Now, on the right, we have the VE3DO antenna, which I consider to be a modification of the EWE. In this case, the vertical end sections, instead of going directly to a transformer or ground rod, they're folded back under the top wire to the center of the antenna. Typically, the bottom wire is about 18 to 24 inches above ground level, and the top wire is typically about 10 feet above ground level for 160 meters. Actually, where the impedance matching transformer, again, about 900 ohms to either 50 or 75 ohms, and the terminating resistor of about 900 ohms, where they come together at the center of the antenna, they can actually share a single ground rod. So to summarize, short compromised beverage antennas can help you hear DX. Don't assume that a compromised beverage won't work at all for you. My experience is it works better than you thought it would. That's covered in my story at the front end. Experiment with the ideas from this presentation. Don't let rough terrain or limited space stop you. And sloping terrain can actually help the performance in some directions. Experiment with other antenna configurations that are covered here. There's lots and lots of online information available on the internet about all of these configurations. And if you decide to build one, build it to be reversible for reception in two directions. You may be surprised at how much more DX you can work with a good receive antenna. Low-band RX antennas really do help you hear the weak stations. If you can't hear them, you can't work them. There are many designs and configurations you can choose from. All of these can be homebrewed or built with a kit like the Bevflex 4X. There are some YouTube videos of the kind of performance you can expect from some compromised receive antennas.
And that concludes an excerpt from Jeff Mendenhall, WHGMN's video, Compromised Beverage Antennas. They can help more than you think. A presentation Jeff made for the third QSO Today Virtual Ham Radio Expo. Used by permission. Editor's note, put September 17th and 18th, 2022 on your ham calendar to catch the next QSO Today Virtual Ham Radio Expo. That's September 17th and 18th. RAIN founder Hap Holly, KC9RP, edits and produces this biweekly ham radio hamcast without monetization. Your support and feedback are welcome via PayPal and on the RAINReport.com. Copyright 1985-2022, RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network, all rights reserved. RAIN programming is made available under a Creative Commons license. You are encouraged to download, share, post, and transmit this RAIN hamcast in its entirety via amateur radio. Thanks to Tom Shimizu, N9JDI, for his assistance in posting a version of the RAIN Hamcast on the RAIN Report channel on YouTube. RAIN Hamcast number 71 will post July 10th, 2022. Very 73 from RAIN. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. Keep on hamming.